This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
A very good evening and welcome into the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Tonight, we're going to kick off our program with some NFL news and notes and focus our attention on the New York Jets. They have been, oh my goodness, they've been dreadful. It has been a very tough season in 2016 as they currently stand 1-5 after another disappointing loss against the Arizona Cardinals. So on Sunday, they're going to host the Ravens at MetLife Stadium with a noon Central Time kickoff on CBS. We're going to dissect what exactly is wrong with the Jets, because you know what? They're just not a very good team right now. So we are thrilled to have back with us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. That is Christian Dyer. He covers the Jets. He actually covers the Giants. He does it all for the Metro New York newspaper. And you can also find him on MSG Network as a pregame show host with the Red Bulls Insider. Good evening, Christian.
Hey, great to be on, Alyssa. Thanks for having me on. First time on the brand new SB Nation Radio.
All righty. We're thrilled to have you a part of it. And of course, we want to get the update on the Jets because they suffered another embarrassing loss. And this time it was on Monday night against the Cardinals. My goodness, they've lost five of their last six games. How devastating was that loss?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think you kind of, when you looked at the schedule, the first half of the schedule for the Jets was always going to be brutal. And they haven't even played the New England Patriots yet. So guess what? It could even get worse right now for this team, which is hard to fathom. But it was a bit of a murderer's row, the first seven, eight games of the schedule. And I think the hope was Jets could maybe go into week eight with three wins. They'd be able to go through the second half of the year. They always seem to play the Patriots tough, whether it's home or away, maybe split that series, sweep the rest of the AFC East, get 10 wins, and get back into the playoffs for the first time since 2010. But now it looks like at this point, after that loss against the Arizona Cardinals, and Arizona by no means was cruising into this game. They were a team that was struggling, and they just made the Jets look entirely ordinary and, quite frankly, just a little bit pathetic. So, yeah, this was a must-win game for the Jets, and now sitting at 1-5, I think you got to say their playoff hopes are on life support, and that might be kind.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the issues that have to be addressed, but how much of this 1-5 record is to blame on Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he has not been effective as the starting quarterback. We know that there are changes have taken place with Geno Smith.
Yeah, I mean, he is the whipping boy, and I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, even last year, no one wanted Ryan Fitzpatrick to be the starting quarterback, because if you're a Jets fan, you've been longing for a franchise quarterback. You haven't had one since Broadway Joe Namath was here, so it's been three and a half decades of just waiting for a franchise quarterback. They had a few seasons with Chad Pennington, but he was never that elite guy. So the hope was that Geno Smith would be able to beat him out. But Geno, as we all know, took the sucker punch to the jaw, Alyssa, and his season was derailed by Ryan Fitzpatrick, who came in, led the Jets to a very strong start, 10 wins, most wins since the 2010 season. And now all of a sudden, you're looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick may not be the best option anymore for the Jets. Just down the field, not able to make the throws, never had a reputation for being a strong arm. And you go back to the Kansas City Chiefs game just a couple weeks ago, six interceptions. And that was a game where the Jets on the road had their chances. They were able to move the ball, and then red zone turnovers just absolutely killed them. Now, I'm not prepared to say that Geno Smith is a better quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right.
I quite frankly don't think that he is. This guy has zero pocket presence, no ability to read defenses, and absolutely no touch and understanding on how ball placement is. Besides that, this guy's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But, you know, those three things, unable to read defenses and his pocket presence, absolutely kills him. But he, at this point, it might just be a scenario where anybody but Fitzpatrick may be better. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, the long pursuit this offseason, there was an awful lot of expectations, might have been just a little bit too much for him.
Okay, Christian Dyer back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is with the Metro New York newspapers. He covers the Jets. He also covers the Giants. Hopefully we'll have some time to dive into that. But let's step back for a moment. Let's talk about a quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Why do you think that the Jets have been exceptionally patient with him.
Well, it all goes back to the fact that a year ago, Fitzpatrick got the starting job because Geno Smith was out for the first few weeks of the season because of that sucker punch. And I think the underscoring theme there is that Geno Smith not as well respected by his teammates as Ryan Fitzpatrick. And if you look at social media, Fitzpatrick signs that one-year, $12 million contract with the Jets this offseason, late in the free agency period, you know, just a couple days before training camp is ready to open. And social media, his teammates are rejoicing that Fitzmagic, as they called him, was back. Brandon Marshall saying, my guy is back. Nick Mangold was enthusiastic. And I think in many ways last year wasn't just the play of Fitzpatrick, almost 4,000 yards passing, a Jets franchise record for most touchdowns in a season, second best passing season in franchise history. That's going to buy you a little leniency. But beyond that, I think it was just the fact that his personality, his demeanor, his leadership capabilities were all a stark contrast to Geno Smith. And when you have a quarterback playing the way that Fitzpatrick has, zero touchdowns, 10 interceptions over his last three, four games, and you're not going to the backup at some point, even just late in the games to spell him, that tells you that the coaching staff has zero confidence in Geno Smith. Perhaps not just on the field, but off the field in terms of leadership. So I think there was the hope that Fitzpatrick could turn this thing around. It was definitely the preference not to have to go with Geno Smith at this point. And Geno Smith may have a very short leash. We might see Bryce Petty.
I was going to say, how deep will they go? Yeah, how deep would they go, Christian, in that rotation as far as with quarterbacks? Because they're not going to be stuck on Geno Smith.
Well, I knew you would be going for the Baylor guy, the Central Texas guy. You want to see?
No, I'm a Sooner. Come on.
I know, but you know that Big 12 love runs.
Okay,
I know that. But Bryce Petty has grown by leaps and bounds, and I saw him in training camp last year. This is a guy who was very good mobility wise. Surprised me his ability to get the ball on the move, his touch down the field, and he really took this offseason and improved. Is he ready to be a starter in the NFL? No, but I think he can be a capable backup quarterback, which is not a bad spot to be at for this guy. So it may be a scenario where Sunday against the Ravens, this is a good pass rush, not a great secondary for Baltimore, but Geno Smith, if his leash is very short, I'm not sure if Fitzpatrick is the de facto guy who goes in. They might want to look and see what they have in Bryce Petty, because if Geno Smith's not cutting it, might as well, you know, handwriting on the wall for the season, see what you got in the young guy.
How can this be? The New York Jets, they are 1-5, and we're going one-on-one with Christian Dyer with the Metro New York newspaper. He covers the Jets. He also covers the Giants. One more quick hit on the Jets. Your assessment of the job that head coach Todd Bowles has done?
Yeah, I was hoping to see more from Bowles, just a little bit more. He kind of came in guarded last year. It still seems like he's got that same guard up, and I was hoping second year as a head coach, 10 wins, took his team to week 17 with their playoff destiny on the line. This could have been an 11-win team last year for Todd Bowles. Instead, it still seems like he's guarded and a little bit overly rigid. And some of the concerns I would have on the field in terms of clock management, use of timeouts, challenges. This guy has a notoriously bad challenge record with the red flag. Some of those things you just don't see necessarily the demeanor of a head coach. And I know people have said this is a guy who should be a coordinator. His peak is a coordinator. And I get it. Some coaches are better as coordinators. They're just better with that hyper-focus and their specialty. Rex Ryan, the same thing's been said about him, and now he's a darling in Buffalo for the past 2 weeks. So, I mean, these things oftentimes shift and the narratives change, Alyssa. But when you look at Todd Bowles, you want to see a little bit more from him rather than just that deadpan sort of demeanor. And I think that there's a lot of room for Todd Bowles to grow, but that in many ways he's regressed this year. And I think the Jets now need to respond to just a little bit of a change in his personality, because coming off those Rex Ryan years, they needed a guy who was solid and steady. Now at 1-5, they need a little bit of that Rex magic and to go on there and chew their tails off a little bit.
Well, the narrative better change, because one can only wonder how the Jet fans are doing, because they've got to be very emotional at this point and very impatient. I can't talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think also when you look back just a couple years ago, Rex Ryan was fired. John Idzik, the general manager at the time, was fired after 2 years. So all of a sudden now you have a team that was 10-6 a year ago, and now they're, you know, they've got 1 win and 5 losses. They win, they go with 3-4 wins. Does Jets owner Woody Johnson have a very short leash and say, we got to blow this thing up again? This was a veteran team. Brandon Marshall, Darrelle Revis. We spend big money to go after a quarterback and Ryan Fitzpatrick. There were all the tools here, and you took us a step back. I mean, I don't think that Todd Bowles should be fired, but you have to wonder, a team that's in constant turmoil this offseason, will they go into it with another head coaching search?
Time always flies when Christian Dyer's on the program. Of course, is with the Metro New York newspapers. He covers the Jets, also the Giants. We're not going to have time to get into the Giants, but we look forward to another conversation, perhaps here in a few weeks. Would that be okay?
That would be great with me. My time is your time.
Thanks, Christian. Stick around.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're in hour number one. And of course, tonight, all of our guests are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that is Progressive. And for all of our listeners out there across the country, if you did not know SB Nation Radio, we are based right here in Houston, in H-Town. We love it. And time now in our next segment, we're going to shine the spotlight and have a little bit of a local flavor and extend an invitation to all of you out here in the Houston Sugarland area. They've got a grand opening of a new performance training facility for youth, for high school, college athletes, even professional and all elite athletes. It is very impressive. We want you to check it out, all their amenities. And here to share about the details about Bill Grader is the co-owners Paresh Patel and Jason Powell. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, it's great to have you on. Congratulations on the grand opening Saturday morning, what, at 9 a.m.? I mean, what's it been like trying to get ready for the big week and the big grand opening?
Well, you know, Alyssa, like I said a second ago, is, you know, we work hard. We've got a lot of things to do. We have a big story for you coming up. But I'll be honest with you, is we went into this a few months ago with a full head of hair, and it's gone. We have no more hair. A little bit of the body hair we have is all gray, and that's falling out as well. So, as you know, starting a new business and a new venture that doesn't exist anywhere in the country is a task. It's an undertaking, but I'll let Paresh tell you a little bit more about it.
Well, I was going to say too. Let me jump in here before Paresh gives his insight. I mean, it's got to be, you know, nerve wracking and biting your fingernails up to your elbows. But Paresh, I know you're very excited. Tell us about Bill Grader and this beautiful and brand new facility, because it really is awesome.
So Bill Grader came about 2 years ago. Me and Jason put our heads together, and this is something that Jason's been planning for years and years, and he's been in this industry for over 25 years, and I'm just an intern in the industry. And learning from him and carrying forward all of the teachings that he's taught me, putting our heads together and putting our passions together, it's been a really good adventure so far. And we're so excited for what we've brought to life for everybody in the community to share.
You know, it's interesting, too. I mentioned, gentlemen, in the open that this is not just for a high school athlete. I mean, it's all-encompassing, high school, college athletes, perhaps preparing for the NFL Combine or an NBA players. There's some very specific programs to achieve maximum performance and prepare you. So tell us about some of the programs that you guys have to offer.
So I'll tell you this, is that we kind of pride ourselves is that we actually even go as young as having what we call our itty-bitties. So we've even got 5 and 6 and 7 year olds that are coming into this, the world of sports and athletics, learning spatial awareness and how to control their body and what it means to be an athlete, all the way through to ex and retired professional athletes from pretty much every sport. So yes, getting ready for combines is important. We do focus mostly on NFL and NBA combines. So, and that's kind of part of the story. So obviously anybody can put a gym together. And I know I did a little research on you, and I know your bio states in the beginning that you know the power of storytelling.
Yeah.
And, we're in the beginning of that now. This is our first chapter of doing this. And I'd like to really emphasize that yes, anyone can put together a good facility. That's not the hard part. The hard part is kind of where we're really focusing our mission and saying we want to develop a whole athlete. We don't want any more of those negative bad news stories, which may hinder you and your show a little bit if we're successful, because
yeah,
you'll have nothing but good to put out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, we focus on mentorship, we focus on education. So we don't want to just develop an athlete. We want them to know why they were developed the way they were. We want to help guide them down the right path. And that could even go as far as saying, hey, you know what, little Johnny or little Betty, maybe they can't be that professional basketball or baseball player or soccer player. Maybe they're better equipped to be a trainer, an athletic trainer. Maybe they're better equipped to be a GM or a head coach or an assistant coach or positions coach. And we want to be able to identify that early and teach the kids and youth and even these college athletes to enjoy the time that they have playing, but in that process of enjoying the game, develop them to be where they're going to be most successful in the future.
Paresh Patel and Jason Powell, they are the co-owners of Built Greater. This weekend, it's the grand opening right here in the Sugarland area, and we are so glad they're with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Jason, you know, it is interesting. I mean, both of you guys have impressive credentials. Tell us a little bit about, as far as your background, because I understand you've done a lot of strength and conditioning training over, what, three decades, and you even have, in fact, have worked with the University of Texas athletes, which is very impressive. How excited are you to not only your background, but also to have Built Greater right here in the Houston area? Because it's a mecca here for athletics.
Oh, it is. I mean, there is nowhere in Houston that is a bad demographic to build athletes. I mean, there is so many amazing schools, wonderful coaches. The athletes are, I mean, there's just, you can't even count them. There's so many. And, you know, through my history is doing everything from working with, yes, University of Texas strength coaches back in the early 90s all the way through close to 2000, kind of off and on, University of Rice, University of Houston, Houston Baptist, all of these local schools and communities has always been an honor. But to be honest with you, it's kind of nice not to have to be the consultant guy or the guy developing things behind the scenes, that now we can actually get out there and do it. Yeah. And now there's a face to all the success that's been going on in the last 25 years.
So what is, for both of you, what's the ultimate goal that you guys want to have within this industry and sports performance training?
One of them is I want to make sports news boring. And I want to take away all the drama.
Okay,
you know you hear that, you hear all the stuff with Ocho Cinco and Johnny Football and all these things that give you guys great headlines. But the reality is we want to eliminate that. And when you have somebody come on, one of these top athletes that we start developing now, 5 years from now they're a pro. They come onto your show, I want it to be about what they've done for the community. I want it to be about, hey, you know what? You didn't have to have a full ride athletically. You got an academic scholarship, and you just opened the door for another student to come into that team and be successful themselves, because not only are you a great athlete, you're smart. You know how to apply yourself. There's no drama. You're helping the community. And it's not even a matter of giving back, because they're going to be giving the whole way. So it's kind of, again, going back to that, to really just develop complete and whole athletes and get some of this nonsense out of the media that I think we're all too far familiar with.
That is a tremendous vision. You're listening to the voice of Jason Powell and, of course, Paresh Patel. They are the co-owners of Built Greater. And, of course, this weekend it's the grand opening. Tell everyone where to go and where they can check it out.
We're located at 711 Avenue E, Stafford, Texas. 77477, and grand opening starts at 9 a.m. sharp.
Okay, I have to ask you this, gentlemen. I'm a mother, proud mom of two junior golfers. They're 15 and 10 years of age. So what kind of programs do you guys offer there in terms of, like, you know, getting your core tight and getting stronger? What kind of programs would you guys perhaps have to offer there?
So something with golfers, especially younger ones, we want to kind of really emphasize on mobility. Because as you know, it's a lot of these professionals, they get into the sport, they get 2 or 3 years into it, they're doing great, and then instantly it's hips, it's knees, it's shoulders, the rotation is off. So it's kind of like I said, with some of our itty-bitties, continuing that development of their spatial awareness, and then making sure the mobility is right. Because if you have all the strength in the world and all the accuracy and dexterity in the world, it doesn't do you any good, especially in golf, if there's no mobility.
Tell us about the website. What can our listeners find when they check it out?
So BillGrader.com is the website. Again, BillGrader.com, get that plug. Really, our website is generally basic. It gives you a quick overview of all the services we provide, a little bit of the cost, and there is a limited expansion on what our cost and fees are, is because we like to develop things that are based on the needs of our athletes that come in. So that's pretty much customizable to groups and individuals coming through.
Awesome conversation with the owners of Built Greater, performance training for youth, high school, college, pro athletes. If you're looking to improve your athletic performance and want to take a proactive approach to health, you want to check it out, of course, right here in the Stafford and the Sugarland area. The grand opening is this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Give the address one more time, gentlemen.
It's 711 Avenue E, Stafford, Texas, 77477.
Well, listen, congratulations on your new in Denver. We wish you all the best and much success. And I look forward to coming over there and checking out the new facility. Thank you, gentlemen.
Alyssa, thank you so much for having us on. I appreciate it.
You
thank
bet. You. Of course. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quick and Loan Studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. As promised, it is time for some NFL news and notes, and we are absolutely thrilled to have back with us one of our favorites, Super Bowl-winning coach, the great Dick Vermeil. He is here in Houston. He's with us in studio tonight. Good evening, Coach.
How are you?
I'm doing great. So what brings you back to Houston?
Our wine business, you know, with Specs and Rodney Brown, my representative here in the area, we've been selling the heck out of wine the last few days.
Well, that's exciting. I wasn't sure if you were coming back because you got the big birthday next week, going to be the big 8-0.
Oh, Isaac Bruce's number.
Nice. Okay. Well, happy birthday
to
you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's great to have you on. And I actually want to open up our conversation with highlighting your former team, the Philadelphia Eagles. They are currently 3-2, and they're looking to get the bounce back on Sunday against the Vikings after that disappointing loss against the Redskins last week. Can they do it?
Well, if they play like they did the last 2 weeks, they won't beat the Vikings. Now, that's no guarantee the Vikings are going to play like the Vikings have been playing. You know, sooner or later, they're going to have an off game. But if Vikings plays up to their ability and the Eagles play up to their ability, then chances are the Vikings win. You know, I'm rooting for, I'm an Eagle guy.
That's
I live
right.
there in that community,
sure.
And I'm impressed with everything they're doing. But they're having some struggles on defense right now and also within the offensive line. At first, they started out dominating on defense, but it wasn't against the best competition other than Pittsburgh Steelers. But Pittsburgh didn't play that well. The next week, they go play super, big win. And then the next week, they play Miami and don't play well again. So I don't know what Pittsburgh's doing, but I know if the Eagles are going to compete successfully against Minnesota, they got to really play well.
Okay, so Coach, a ton of hype coming into this game with Sam Bradford's return to Philly. Okay, you said you live in the area. What kind of reception do you think he's going to receive? I bet those Eagle fans, they're going to be so sweet to him, aren't they?
I think they will be respectful.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I think they'll be respectful. Now, once the game starts and things, you know, they'll get on him and they'll make it tough on him. But I think they'll be respectful because he was liked and respected. Even the Eagle organization, when they traded him, I mean, he was playing, 70% pass per completion ratio in the preseason. I mean, he was playing well.
Yeah.
But this opportunity presented itself, and they see on the field every day Carson Wentz improving. They say, first-round pick, we go to Carson Wentz. It's a win-win for both of them. But I think he'll get respect. He'll get respect, and I think they better not let him play well because if he does, he'll beat him because he's really, right now, they're the number one pass-efficient offense in the league.
Why do you think he's been able to make such a seamless transition with the Vikings and why that system complements him?
Well, first off, he's been in the system before. I think the quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, had coached him before when he was at the Rams and when he was younger. Mm-hmm. So he knows him. And I think Sam played well last year at the end of the year for the Eagles, too. And if they give him protection, which he's never had, Minnesota is giving him solid protection right now, he can throw probably accurately as good or better than anybody in the National Football League.
Super Bowl winning coach, the great Dick Vermeil, he is back with us in studio this time at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. You can always go back and listen to the entirety of this interview at podcastarena.com. We're getting you set and ready for the big game on Sunday as we talk about the Eagles and the Vikings. Okay, so Carson Wentz versus Sam Bradford. Which one would you anticipate is going to play better and going to live up to the hype?
Well, Carson Wentz is playing way beyond expectation. They knew he was going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. They didn't know he'd be so good so fast. He does not play like a rookie quarterback. He's just an impressive first-round draft pick quarterback I have ever seen. Okay, and he's not limited in any way. He doesn't show inexperience, so he plays with the poise of an experienced player. He has an unbelievable arm. He has the ability to throw with different velocities and different trajectories. He can lob it over. He can throw it between you. Darn near throw it under you. Mm-hmm. So I don't see any limitation. His only limitation is supporting cast. And he's big and strong, and he can run, and he throws well on the move. He has no limitation except inferior right tackle right now. The rookie started there. We call him Vi with the Samoan. He's got a huge long name there. He played poorly last week, and if he doesn't play a lot better this week, it'll be trouble.
All your years in the NFL, what is the best way to handle a prized rookie quarterback and to not let him get overwhelmed by the big picture?
Well, first, surround him with a good defense so you don't have to score too many points to win. Don't put it all on him. Secondly, provide a scheme with which he's able to grow and give it to him piece by piece to piece till he gets the full package. Mm-hmm. Though I don't think Carson Wentz has been limited in regard to the amount they give him because he's so bright. You know, he's a guy who never got a B in college. He's a straight-A guy. And that only helps you if you can play, but obviously he can. So he's bright enough to handle and understand anything you give him. Now, how he handles it under pressure and all that is determined by his maturity and his poise. And he's proved to be very mature and very poised.
Do you believe that he is the franchise quarterback?
Oh, no question. There's no question in my mind. I've been in Philadelphia since 1976, and I've never seen anybody like him.
And, of course, let's talk some more about Sam Bradford. You believe he is going to be the future for the Vikings? And I also have to wonder, too, going into this game, Coach, how much revenge will be a motivator? Because don't you, as a player, you want to prove your point that, you should have never let me go?
Yeah, I don't think he left in a bad frame of mind. I think he recognized.
But as a competitor, though,
Competitor, you like, anyone.
Yeah, of course.
Once you snap and run the first play on offense, that'll all be behind him. He's just thinking about surviving and executing his game plan and throwing the ball properly. But Sam, I have always been a big fan of his because I saw when he was drafted. I was on the practice field a few times when he was a young kid at the Rams, but they were just never able to provide him with the protection he needed to develop. And then he had too many offensive coordinators. So I think, right now I wouldn't be surprised if Sam ends up being the NFL Player of the Year.
Okay, one of the teams that we are going to highlight tonight is talking about the Jets. Just give me a quick hit on the change in the quarterback situation. They've had a bit of a controversy there with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and now Geno Smith, he is going to get the nod. What has he shown you in terms of his time in the NFL? Because there's been good, there's been bad. What do you like about
him? I have never seen him really play well.
Okay.
So, I don't follow the Jets that closely, and I flop. If I'm watching him, I watch him for two or three series, and I move to the next game and watch him. But I have never seen Geno really play like the first-round pick that he was. I never really have. I've seen Fitzpatrick play super, and I've seen him play poorly. I don't know what you get, but you've got an experienced guy there. And he's moved around. He's had enough coaches. But his coach is coaching him now as a coordinator, coached him in Buffalo as well. So he knows him. I'm surprised they made the change. But
are you?
Yeah, I'm surprised because, Fitzpatrick did not have a good game last week, and he's also been blamed for some losses earlier this season.
Yeah, because they're like 1-5. I mean, they are struggling mightily.
But, normally I feel this way.
Okay, tell me.
If a guy has been playing 5 games because he was your better quarterback, and all of a sudden they take him out, where was the other guy all along when they were competing to determine?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe your evaluation process or opportunities weren't provided well enough or given enough to the backup guy. But all of a sudden, how can the backup guy become better than the first guy? I've never been a big believer in that. And we'll see. And I hope for the Jets' sake that he plays well. I really do.
Always an honor to have with us in studio Dick Vermeil, legendary NFL coach, right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Coach, I have to make a confession. I love the Dallas Cowboys, and they obviously, they're off to a terrific start this season. Your impressions of Dak Prescott?
Outstanding. He might be very close to Carson Wentz. I mean, I was in Napa Valley working our wine business.
Mm-hmm.
First preseason game, we flip it on. It's Dallas Cowboys opening series. He comes out the first 9 passes. He throws a complete. Carol's sitting over the other couch there sipping a glass of Vermeil wine.
Yay.
He says, "Neil, something, Carol, this kid can play." And I was disappointed.
Very nice.
Because I live in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
And, when you coach against the Cowboys unsuccessfully, like I did so many times, you like to see him get beat once in a while. But he is very impressive. Big, strong. I don't know when it's all said and done somewhere down the road which guy's going to end up being best, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, what do you do in that situation, though, as far as, in terms of Romo and...
I always had a policy you could not lose your job by getting hurt. But I also left it, if the person that replaces you while you are injured performs at a level better than you were playing prior to the injury, mm-hmm. then I have to stay with him. Because, you've built a level of momentum, and you don't like to lose it. You like to keep it going. And that's not to say Tony Romo wouldn't come in there and play lights out, but I don't know if Tony Romo was playing as well as Prescott is playing right now. I'd have to go back and evaluate that.
He is back in studio. Legendary NFL coach, always a Big E favorite. That is Dick Vermeil. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We are inside on this Friday night in the Quicken Loan Studios. And before we continue our conversation with legendary NFL coach Dick Vermeil, listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows, live and on demand, right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at sbnationradio.com. And we'd love to hear from you. You can email the show at info@eradiosports.com. Always tweet us, eradiosports @eradiosports. And twice is always nice. Go back to podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com, and you can listen to this exclusive interview with Dick Vermeil. Let's pick up our conversation right where we left off. We're going to talk about his wine club. Tell us about Vermeil Wines. The holidays are just around the corner. What perfect time to be a part of this?
Well, you know, we started our business in 2008, taking a hobby that I'd been in for 10, 12 years and turning it into a full-fledged business. And Specs here in Houston have been really, they're the best company we have to deal with here. And Rodney Brown is standing to my side here right now.
Good to have you, Rodney, with us in studio. Thank you.
We've been selling the heck out of wines, but it's good wines. You know, I grew up in the wine world in the Napa Valley. I helped my grandfather Vermeil make our wines, so it's always been important to me, not so much in volume, but in quantity and quality, and just quality. Just make good stuff, and we keep getting better. Our 2014s are better than anything we've made. Our new winemaker, Thomas Brown, has added a degree of credibility to our whole process because he's so well known. And the wines are selling themselves now because people taste them, they like them.
Yes.
We have a lot of competition. You know, in the NFL, you had about 31 other teams to compete against. In the Napa Valley, you got 500 or the wineries to compete against. So you got to make good wine. You got to.
And I was going to say, how competitive is the business? How many are you competing against?
About 500. Yeah. Or more in Napa Valley alone.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how many licenses there are out there to make wine. And of course, so then there's the people that are established and have the big names, the Stag Leaps, the Joseph Phelps, the Silver Rokes, the Camuses. They all have the big names, you know, the Rajos, the Harlins. So you have to catch up. But we've had, you know, fortunately, we're working at it, and like Specs organization right now, we don't go any place to pour our wines that they don't buy it and put it on their wine list. But for us, the little guys at 2,500 cases a year, mm-hmm. you can't sell too much wholesale because you can't break even if you do that. So we hope to sell about 80% of our direct through our wine club. People could Google Vermeil Wines and read about us and see about us and look at with the awards we have won and I anticipate winning more awards in the future because the wines are better. And they could join our wine club. We have about 285 wine club members. It usually holds. We gain 25 and lose 27, gain 26, lose 24, but it keeps going around there. Hopefully this time next year we'll have about 350 wine club members where they can get three shipments a year direct to them if they're in a state where it's legal.
Just a few more minutes right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. If you missed any part of this interview, you can go to podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. Of course, the great Dick Vermeil with us in studio. So when you promote the wine, is it just word of mouth? I mean, you guys don't do any advertising at all?
No, I'm the marketing guru, so to speak. And, you know, we're very small. We're not many people involved in Vermeil Wines. Uh-huh. I have four other partners, and I have a couple former players, Trent Green and Todd Collins, that are limited partners.
Okay.
And they do a little bit to help us in their areas where they live. But mainly we rely on the wholesale market, the Specs here in Houston. We sell more wine in Houston than any other place other than Napa Valley and our two tastes.
Why do you think that is? You've talked about that before, Coach.
Good company.
Okay.
Good company. And Houston is a steak and red wine. place, and sure. The economy normally is pretty darn good. And specs, they do what they say they're going to do. They sell it.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you enjoy the most about the winemaking process and just being a part of it?
I enjoy sharing it.
You do?
See, that's how I grew up. I enjoy... People used to bring a wine bottles to our house with no labels, and I would go with my grandfather. We'd drop a couple of, like, exchange wines mm-hmm. and this kind of stuff. And I enjoy the camaraderie, the conversation and tasting and what they think, what you think, and that kind of stuff. I enjoy the relationship development through the wine process.
I have to wonder, too, with so many of your former players, I'm sure that you provide some complimentary wine. I mean, what kind of feedback do you get from them?
There's some guys, like Morton Anderson's. He's got a great palate. He's a great wine guy.
Uh-huh.
He's the guy I got in a little trouble with when I gave him a bottle of Bryant Family Vineyard when he made the field goal against the Raiders. Was it 2004 or 2005?
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, there's a lot of NFL guys now interested in wines today.
Dick Vermeil has been with us right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, go to VermeilWines.com. And also, don't you have like a special launch or release that's going to be coming out?
Our 2014s, a few of them will be released in November. Then the Cabernets, and that'll be released in February of the 2014. And we're running out of wines. I was just coming over here to be with you. We were calling about getting some more wine. We don't have it.
Oh, that's outstanding. All righty. Well, listen, Coach, we so much appreciate you coming by. Sincerely.
No, nice to be with you always. Thank you.
We wish you continued success. Much more coming your way right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, all of our guests tonight are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Comparing rates to help you save. Now that's progressive. As a reminder, for all of your favorite SB Nation radio shows, live and on demand right from your smart device, search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. We make it so easy. So if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at sbnationradio.com. That's sbnationradio.com. And we'd love to hear from you. You can email the show at info@eradiosports.com. Always tweet us, eRadioSports at eRadioSports, and twice is always nice. Go back to podcastarena.com, and you can listen to this exclusive interview with Dick Vermeil. We will be right back.